Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Litigation costs are continuing to rise. Plaintiffs' attorneys utilize technology and data more than ever to outmaneuver their opponents. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Wesley Todd, CEO at CaseGlide. Wes, so glad you could join us today.
Yeah, me too, John. Thank you.
So, Wes, tell us about CaseGlide, a brief overview of what the company does.
Great. Thanks, John. And I appreciate it. You've done some fantastic work on this issue, and we're grateful for that. CaseGlide, we've been working on this issue for 10 years, and I started my career as an attorney representing the insurance companies. And about 5 years after that, 10 years ago, I noticed that there was some significant data and operational chaos going on when claims went to litigation. So I left a successful practice to start CaseGlide at the time, believing that the technology would help insurers fight and level the playing field against. At that time, my view was the Florida industry. So help these Florida insurers and insurers doing business in Florida level the playing field. And quickly, as you can imagine, if you run some numbers on the timing, there became a litigation crisis within a year of us starting CaseGlide. And so we then quickly partnered with dozens of those insurers. And so what happens with that is that you, when you have 10 years to work on something, you develop a foundation of experts and then software that connects the insurance companies with their attorneys, the insurance defense attorneys, from the beginning of a case and now before a case to the close of a case. And, you know, to put it simply, that's 10 years of innovation, 10 years of new features, and 10 years of kind of consultation. And the goals are to shift the mindset from litigation management, from managing a lawsuit to resolution management, as you can imagine. And then from insurance defense, which is what it's commonly known as, to insurance offense and being proactive. So, you know, over tens of thousands of days and all those quarters, you wind up with software that goes toe-to-toe and a group of insurers that go toe-to-toe with the biggest plaintiff's attorneys in the world. And as we'll talk about, you know, soon, or as you've been talking about, this crisis has now spread nationally. So now we are, and then for the past 5 years, we've been expanding nationally and helping those insurers with that learning curve.
So you work with the insurance industry's attorneys. You don't represent the insurance industry. You work with the insurance industry attorneys as a technologist, essentially.
Yeah, to be clear, it's both. So the most expensive vendor, the biggest expense, on the most important claims are the insurance defense attorneys. We actually will partner with the insurance company to say, let's get the same workflow and technology and process that we have internally. Let's extend that out to our lawyers. So it's essentially what in the past was called like a portal. And now it's called, seamless embedded workflow where they're both working on the same software and it syncs up with their individual software so that we're all unified in one spot.
So, Wes, it's hardly news that the insurance industry has run up against an aggressive plaintiff's bar in recent years and has had to face plenty of the so-called nuclear verdicts. Is this a battle the insurance industry can fight, or will the only option be to raise rates to deal with mounting legal and claims costs?
John, I love that you basically jumped to this question. I think that our experience in Florida is very telling here. So, and this was something that, you know, I didn't know. I was just an attorney, but I watched over 10 years the decision-making process of insurers and their leadership. Because the insurance defense attorneys, they're great at what they do, but they're looking to the insurance industry to advise them on what they find value in. And when they don't tell them, they're going to take signals of we need to be cheaper and we need to, be suspicious and you know, try to defend, but also keep costs down and really these sort of mixed messages and messages that change over time. What I saw in Florida was that the leaders that took this problem head on. At first, they looked really bad. Like the regulators, reinsurers, rating agencies, they would look at these carriers that made these difficult decisions that chose to really attack the problem. And, you know, at first that looks bad because what you essentially have to do is say you have a litigation problem. You have to now change the value of some of your losses. And over time, those insurers wound up being the most successful. Those insurers also not only felt the extent of the problem, but then were able, the management team, but then was able to actually basically empower their teams and empower their attorneys to say, this is a problem we're having and here's what we need to do to solve it. Now contrast that with again, I didn't know this as it was happening. I would sort of take these leaders for their word, but then you had leaders that would engage in various forms of sort of denial and they would say, we have it figured out. And, or they would completely defer to somebody who actually wasn't empowered. And so you'd have these kind of other situations where that group really wasn't prioritizing the problem. And you can imagine that there's a million different things that happen over the course of years after that initial decision. So, you know, it's really like a single second decision where somebody says, we have a problem and I'm going to fight through it. And someone else, you know, says, you know, we're just going to kind of kick the can down the road. Well, fast forward 10 years later, most of the companies, now not all, of course, but most of the companies that took that problem head on survived. And then now they're thriving, as we'll talk about later. A lot of these companies now are getting more than adequate rate and also lowering their expense. And I would say most of the companies that really kicked the can down the road, they didn't necessarily die. I mean, many of them did. As you know, many of these insurers went insolvent. But others just had to cut so much business and take on so much debt that, you know, they are you know, just a fraction of what they used to be. So, and in Florida, what happened, John, was the regulators came in. This is a public policy issue. And they said, this is insane and we're not going to allow this anymore. And over a series of reforms got to the point where now they feel, and the data is showing and the rates are showing, of course, they're still high, but they're moving down, which is really great because insurance typically doesn't shift their risk view that fast. And you're starting to see these things improve. But what happened there was the regulator stepped in. Now, in a world where the regulators don't step in let's say like national commercial lines, where it's not as clear of a public policy, it's more business to business, which is where we're seeing, as you've talked about on several pods, where we're seeing most of the issues. It'll be interesting to see. My personal belief is that due to the, you know, we're now 10 years past when CaseGlide started. So the gap between the plaintiff's attorneys and the defense attorneys and the insurers is much bigger. I mean, when we started, they were fairly equal 10 years ago. Now, 10 years later, it's the minor leagues versus the major leagues. So I suspect that it won't be possible to get adequate rate because this thing is going to take on a life of its own for those insurers that aren't like accurately quantifying it now. I think we've seen already a lot of the results come through that are indicating that this is not something you can just predict without severe consequences. So I think that the can will be kicked down the road. It'll be one of those things that for many insurers, it'll be too difficult for them to shift course that fast to get adequate rate when they haven't been quantifying this issue for so long. But again, there'll be those insurers that are now admitting the problem, that are now prioritizing the problem, that are undertaking the steps necessary. Doesn't happen overnight, and it requires a lot of, you know, blocking and tackling. Those insurers will be taking the hits now, and yeah, they will be increasing their rate, but in a, you know, they'll also be able to seek stabilization, maybe through regulators, maybe through other means. But I think you'll see a divergence, and I think the moment is now. Well, you'll see the decision making that leads to that divergence, like what we saw in Florida.
So I've got to believe that you believe technology can help drive better litigation outcomes for insurance companies.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll elaborate on that. I was preparing for this, I was thinking of what's a good analogy here to start with, because we've been in the business of selling technology on this for 10 years, and we've found, you know, to make our clients the most successful, that may not always be the right place to begin. A lot of insurance companies want to take what I'll call like the Ozempic for this problem, right? They think that there's a magic pill. Maybe it's AI, maybe it's, you know, litigation avoidance score or some kind of detection or something like that. And, you know, they're not addressing the underlying issues, and they're not, you know, unfortunately, those tools that, you know, may hold themselves out as Ozempics, they're not really even going to be as effective as Ozempic. So, for those that don't know, Ozempic is the wonder drug that now, you know, 50% of people are taking to reduce their weight. And there's extreme benefits, but there's also, you know, like anything else, there's different factors, and you can't just do one step and think that the problem is solved. So I say that because insurers with the mindset that they're just going to send somebody to look at softwares and that they're magically going to pick a case glide or one of the other tools. There's not really another case glide, but there's other options like AI, you know, defense attorney networks, different things. Those insurers are, you know, going to be disappointed, because what's really required at this moment is what we found was required in Florida 10 years ago is like a consultative approach. So in the other areas, John, and outside of litigation, what the insurers do is they engage in transformation projects. They hire consultants. They get folks that are very skilled at the change management and at filling a lot of the gaps. There's usually a lot of like migrations and a lot of process and a lot of documentations that have to occur. And so those units get all this other support in that process. And then there's a lot of communication to and from management. Yes, the end result is a technology that now essentially snaps them in to a roadmap to start rapid innovation. But the process from, hey, today I have a problem, to it's fixed is very long and really requires that type of mindset of consultation or professional services or experts in change management, experts, business analysts, things like that. So Case Glide, over time, it is a solution that insurers can use, because Case Glide can help amplify good processes, automate good processes once they're good. And so once you determine that the best practices for evaluating a case are not to draft a 15-page legal memo that costs $5,000 and immediately goes away, that it's actually just to essentially triage the file and figure out, okay, here's the key questions I need to answer to get it closed and to avoid it going nuclear. That can become automated so that the attorneys are queued up with that, you know, report and given guidance, and that it's synced with the claim system and synced with all the efficiencies in the claim system. And then that type of innovation from there to the next year or 2 years while that case is open, connected to the attorney, connected to the insurer. Yes, technology can essentially be that, you know, those guardrails for ensuring that the best process that the insurance company has being followed by everybody. However, most insurers really need to kind of rethink their process right now on litigation, because they're still kind of playing yesterday's game with how they're defending these cases. So we're engaging in that as well, and we're bringing our team to the front end to help people basically become ready for a technology solution. But, you know, litigation is not like any other industry or business or department. It requires those experts in change and those experts in process to help bridge a gap between, okay, we are here, we're at a place where we're spending 7% of our premium on litigation and nobody's happy about it and nobody can track any of it, and half of our losses are going to litigation. We're at this really bad place, to, okay, now we're in this really great place. Yes, Case Glide can be that bridge on the consultative side as well as others, and then on the technology side as well.
Wes, you mentioned Florida a couple times, and Florida is seeing a reduction in litigation claims, but much of that I would have to assume is due to the new assignments of benefits legislation, or is there something else at play here?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I would, you know, I kind of held, you know, bit my tongue on this for a while, wait and see it plays out. I'm confident to say that the litigation crisis in Florida is over. You know, we get to see the day-to-day litigation. The AOB certainly had an impact, John. The number one variable in Florida is always going to be hurricane. So, you know, unlike with car accidents and work accidents and things like that, you have this moment where the claim universe multiplies by 100,000, right, in a month. And then that's also the moment where these insurers are overextended because nobody can adequately staff that amount of claims. And so you're going to have lawsuits. So we had that Ian litigation on the property side. We had that Ian litigation come through. And, you know, the signs there, this is, and then you compare that to Irma, right? Which was 2017. And then Ian is 2020, I want to say, or 2021. So you had this gap. And even though Ian was under the same, almost the same laws, not even the new laws as Irma, you're seeing a maybe 3 or 4 or 5-fold reduction in lawsuits. So that's kind of your best barometer for what's happening. And we're far enough along to say that it's pretty much locked in, that it's going to be maintained at that reduction, just based on the trends when you compare them both. Outside of property lines, you're seeing similar reductions in lawsuits. And there's a million different possibilities for like the cause. And, you know, some of them could be social. Some of them could be that these firms have now expanded. Some of them could be that, hey, they liked the Florida laws, but they found that the national essential, blank page law on non-economic, you know, pain and suffering damages is actually a better game to play. That's where the attorneys can take their 40% cut of a much bigger number. You're starting to see all these different factors play in where maybe they are finding better business models outside of that. They're finding them in mass torts. They're just expanding. It's such a really sophisticated business now, backed by hedge funds, backed by private equity, the plaintiff's attorneys. Backed by hedge funds, backed by private equity, backed by AI. So, you know, we don't know exactly where those billions of dollars in advertising and innovation are headed now or headed next. We just, you know, it would be impossible to track that at the same speed that they're moving. But, you know, all of these different factors mean that the litigation crisis is going to be unpredictable, going to spread in different ways. It's not going to be limited to Florida anymore. There's no reason. Florida's a big state. Florida had certain laws, but every state is having, drastic increases in litigation now. So not sure exactly why. I mean, we have a lot of hypotheses, but the Florida crisis is a fraction of the Florida litigation issue is a fraction of what it once was, even though we're still in the midst of Hurricane Ian litigation on the property side.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
You're a lawyer by trade. How do you defend against the so-called reptilian theory?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The reptilian theory is, I think, I worked on this for years, and the plaintiff's lawyers come in and they say, in that situation I talked about, where you're talking about pain and suffering, you say, okay, there was an injury, and we all know there's going to be some dispute on the surgeries, but the real meat on the bone is the pain and suffering, the non-economic loss, the thing that essentially, the plaintiff's attorney is going to bring to the jury in the event that it goes to trial and say, it's your job to make sure this never happens again. You got to punish. And if this was you, what would you want? You know, what type of award would you want? So there's all these different elements that reward just skilled communication and skilled presentation over what most of these attorneys have experience and training in. The way to defend it is to acknowledge that only 1% of cases go to trial. So insurance companies, in theory, at their size, with the amount of litigation they have and they've had, they should know what's going to happen in these cases. And they should never be in a situation where they're in a trial and that one where they let a case, 1% of their case, go to a trial that's going to be nuclear. You're seeing that the plaintiff's attorneys are essentially leveraging this headline against us, and they are now being much less willing to settle, and cases are taking much longer, and plaintiff's attorneys being much less responsive because they know as time goes on, the insurer will cave more and more, at least, you know, more often than not, not every insurer, it increased their settlements. Because ultimately what's happening is these insurers do not have access to information. So if you are managing litigation by email, then you don't really know what's happening until you have to. And for many insurers, that's when they wait until some attorney comes in and says, this is a $10 million case. And then they scamper and they try to figure out everything. Because they're managing by email, they're also paying their attorneys an hourly rate. There's no real incentive to avoid a nuclear verdict for the defense lawyer. They're going to get paid the same one way or the other. There's no incentive to get a good settlement. So I think the best way insurers can avoid the nuclear verdicts and avoid the reptile theory is just take care of their own business and just start to prioritize this thing. It's not what many people think it is. It's the same as what happens in every other department. If the actual management of it is messy, then the actual results are going to be messy. If the management of it is very clear and very well thought out and aligned with across the different stakeholders, all the way to the plaintiff's lawyer, then you're going to have more control over it, more transparency over it, and therefore avoid getting yourself in that situation where you're getting hit with a nuclear verdict. Because ultimately, John, there is no defense. If you know, there's no way to predict what a jury's going to say on a given day. But insurance is the law of large numbers. Insurance is supposed to be the major league player here versus the minor league player, the plaintiff's attorneys. Insurance is supposed to have a handle on these numbers, and insurance should be able to have a handle on these numbers hundreds of days before the plaintiff's bar. So they're best equipped to reallocate their spend from, you know, yesterday's problems and litigating and defending to being on the offense, resolving. I mean, there's plenty of money already baked into premium to fix this problem. It's basically the insurer's largest expense. So it's just a matter of allocating it properly.
So Wes, do you foresee a day when insurers are able to fight back and level the playing field against the plaintiff's bar?
100%. So, you know, the thing that the plaintiff's bar is doing is they're just taking advantage of the insurer's own delay in figuring this out. I'm confident that the insurers are going to figure it out. And so there will be a world where the adjusters will be working on adjusting and not administrative work. So they'll be, you know, these adjusters are still very talented. You know, now 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, a lot of these folks may, you know, be retiring, but they're still very talented. They're still talented senior defense lawyers as well. So we have to scrape off the 50% of stuff they're doing that's actually making the problem worse, and then start creating a work queue where they're doing the things that we really need them to do. Then you start to use workflow to get the, you know, to create specialization. A claims adjuster may not be good at litigation. Attorney that handles this type of case may not be good at attorney that handles this type of case. You know, an attorney that's good at communicating with you and good at billing may not be an attorney that's good at getting the plaintiff's attorney on the phone for the ultimate discussion of getting the case resolved, right? That's going to be a completely different skill. So you're going to need specialization. Now, that specialization could take in many forms when technology like CaseGlide or a claim system or you know, claim system extension out to the defense lawyers, when you kind of have that workspace to then start assigning tasks across stakeholders, not just within the insurance company. You could have third parties that are really good at things like medical records review or medical records AI and really try to find the issue that, you know, might work in your favor, might work against you. Then you can imagine a world, I mean, where 5-10 years from now, where a scan of the internet and socials is going to tell you, this person's going to present really well. Like right now, we wait 2 years or a year, we take a depo of somebody, we say, oh, wow, this is a person that's been dedicated to church and, you know, and knows everybody in the town, is the daughter of the mayor, and she's really hurt and she's really sad and she was happy before. There's no reason in today's world that we wait 2 years to find that out and spend $100,000 on our own lawyers and then get, and then basically do a depo and give the plaintiff's attorney, put them on notice that they have, you know, a multi-million dollar case. So you can imagine a world where there's a specialization on the investigation of the people and understanding, you know, who was happy and is now sad, who was already hurt and is, you know, still hurt, or who's faking it. And then lastly, you can imagine a world where you have very good negotiators, and whether they be adjusters or attorneys, and those are the folks that are tasked with getting a case done. Right now, there's no real process around, hey, when you're going to talk to the lawyer on the other side for that ultimate conversation, because again, 99% of these cases settle, what are you going to say? How are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Are you going to do it at all? It's literally, you know, not baked into a best practice. So yes, you see a world where when you line all those things up, you get to a place like we are in Florida where the playing field is relatively level and it becomes less profitable on the plaintiff side because they're not going to be able to squeeze out, you know, an insane amount of profit on every case. And, you know, then all of a sudden it becomes more of a balanced system as opposed to a lot where it is right now and where it's headed, which is a very, and where it might be for some time. You know, I don't think that, I think this is still inning one of the national litigation crisis. So, you know, I think we're going to have to see the pain to get to the other side. But on the other side, you will have better frameworks and better understanding and hopefully, you know, a world where all this money that we all want to spend on innovation for future efficiencies, for more affordable insurance, more available insurance, faster growing insurance, where the money's going to that instead of past cases and, you know, so much money, almost all the money is going to lawyers in this industry right now. I think that's a good thing because you can reinvest that and you can get to a place where the playing field is level. And I think we will get there, but there will certainly be some bumps in the road along the way.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a while. Wes, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, John.
That was Wesley Todd, CEO at CaseGlide, and I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.